Amen. Y'all remember when you got saved?
Yes. Amen.
I was there.
Amen. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Every once in a while, I meet somebody soul winning or whatever, and I'll ask them, you know, they died, would they go to heaven or what? They say, well, that's rather personal. I'd rather not talk about it. I would rather talk about it. Amen. Amen. Like he said, I was there. Amen. I was there when I got saved. Amen. It was good.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. Now, some of y'all look like you're nervous when it's back there shouting. And let me say this. If you're going to get to heaven, you're going to be extremely nervous there. Listen, but you better get used to it, because that's all that's going on up yonder is just shouting, praising the Lord. Amen. And some of you have never hollered, hallelujah. You've never hollered, hallelujah. But you're going to four times. If you're saved, you're going. I read it in Revelation. And it says, everybody said, hallelujah, hallelujah. You better practice how to say it. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to say hallelujah. Amen. I like hallelujah because I can say hallelujah in Spanish. Amen. Hallelujah. I can say it Russian. Hallelujah. I can say it in German. Hallelujah. Amen. It's the same in every language. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right. So y'all know, we're speaking in tongues now. Hallelujah. Amen. I used to sing gospel music. Of course, sometimes we'd sing in other churches besides Baptist. And this one pastor, he was Assembly of God, but he had a good sense of humor about the whole thing. And he said one of the ladies came to his church, came to him personally and said, Pastor, is it Chandier or Chandier? You know, Chandier, you know, whatever. She didn't know if it was Chandier or Chandier. Come on now. It's just, amen.
Oh, glory.
Oh, I used to sing, Omani Omathai, Omani Omathai. Amen. Amen. To me, Spanish is an unknown tongue.
Yep.
That's what unknown tongues are.
Yep.
It's another language.
Right. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what it was a miracle in the Bible. The miracle was they needed to get the gospel out quickly and get it all over the world quickly.
Yep.
And so God gave people power to either to speak in another language that they'd never studied, or people heard it in their language.
Yeah.
And I don't know which one happened, but anyway, it got the job done.
Yeah.
But it's tongues are not some heavenly gibberish that only, no.
Right.
No. And we don't need them here because we all speak English.
Yeah.
We all speak English. We don't need tongues here. Amen. Oh, I had to get that out of the way. Amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles to, oh, it's all good. Turn anywhere. Turn to 2 Peter, but I don't have my outline with me, and so I don't know where the verse is. But this would be good for you to think for a minute, because none of us have the verse, so we'll have to think a little bit. It's in the book of Acts. Maybe I'm not even going to guess a chapter, but it says somebody were first called Christians at Antioch. Remember that verse? The who? What were we called before we were called Christians? What did Jesus have 12 of?
Disciples.
Disciples. Yeah. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. So before we were called Christians, we were called what?
Disciples.
What are disciples? We get the word discipline. Discipline. I used to think a scholar was someone who was smart. No, a scholar is a learner. A student is what a scholar is. Jesus had students. He had scholars. He had disciplined ones. Disciples. That's what disciples are. Disciplined ones.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a lot easier to be a Christian than it is to be a disciple. A lot of folks, they're glad they're going to heaven, and they could not tell you how. They cannot tell someone else how. They believe in eternal security, but they can't show you one verse.
Yeah.
They believe that Jesus is God, but they wouldn't know where to show you. Disciplined ones. Sometimes they pray, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they read their Bibles, sometimes they don't. Amen. Disciples were disciplined ones. They had disciplines. They did something every day. They did the same things every day. Disciplines. Now here in 2 Peter, now let me give you the title of the message. I gave it the other night, but just in passing, so you probably didn't catch it. And the title of the message, if you don't remember anything else I say, the title will help you. 6 steps to a supernatural, normal Christian life. I hope y'all got that.
Yeah.
A Christian's life, normal, should be supernatural. That should be the norm.
Yeah.
It should just be the norm. Something supernatural happens through the day in your life as you walk with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You look in the book of Acts, just all the time, just coinkydinkies were happening. Amen. Just coincidences. How did they show up just at the... Amen.
Yeah.
Filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what it was. So let's look the first thing here. Verse 10. Wherefore the rather brethren... Give diligence. Diligence. When I think of diligence, I think of an ant. Anybody see an ant? Do this. I see a lot of Christians doing that. But I've never seen an ant do that. They're always busy. Always doing something. Amen. It says that we should give diligence to do what? To make our calling and election sure.
Amen.
So number one, if you're going to be effective for the Lord, if you're going to do supernatural things, that's just going to be the norm. You need to have assurance of your salvation. You need to know that you're saved. God wants you to know that you're saved. And people say, well, nobody can know they're saved. John said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. John knew he was saved.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, John knew those he was writing was saved.
Yep.
You can't know that you're saved.
Yes,
and listen, when if you're living in fear, you're never going to be effective for the Lord.
Right. Amen.
Never going to be effective. So there's a book written, and what I'm preaching tonight is a series. I just have to hit the high spots. So there's a book written so you can know that you're saved. It's the book of 1 John. So turn to 1 John, and I'm just going to give you the verses. How many? I don't know which way you want to ask it. I'll just ask it the positive way. How many has ever doubted their salvation? Raise your hand. Now, the rest of you that were too ashamed and didn't raise your hand, look around and see the rest of us telling the truth. Amen. If Satan can't take your soul when you get saved, he can't. He can only do 2 other things. Get you into sin where you lose your testimony or get you to doubting. And either way, he's done the job. You need to know that you're saved. So there's 5 things I'll show you here in the book of 1 John how you can know that you're saved. Now, how many of you that doubt your salvation, when you do go through doubts, you go back to your experience and make sure you did everything right? John don't take you there. That's not how you find out whether you got saved or not. I've heard people give their testimony. I'm thinking, they didn't get saved. If that's what really happened, they didn't get saved. But with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. It took place in the heart. You might have said something stupid, but in your heart you was believing the right thing.
Right.
Amen. So let's look at 5 things. And let me say this. If you ever have doubts for your salvation, or if you ever know anybody that has doubts for your salvation, you might want to just write these verses down for future reference. Because when you start going through doubts, you're not going to remember this message. The devil will see to that. Verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments.
Amen.
So I know I'm saved because I keep his commandments. Keep means to value, to highly regard. Obviously, no one here has been sinless ever since you got saved. So when it says if we'll keep his commandments, we know that we're saved. It doesn't mean we'll never break commandments. But you value and highly regard his. I did not value and highly regard his commandments before I got saved.
Amen.
Matter of fact, that's how I got my fun. I bragged about it.
Yep.
I've not bragged about sin since I got saved.
Amen.
I can get my kicks other ways besides sinning. Amen. So I know I'm saved because I keep his commandments. Number 2, verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. I know I'm in him. I know I'm saved because I keep his word. And again, there are times when I break his word. There are times when I disagree with God.
Yeah.
You never read a verse and said, I don't know about that. Or you never read a passage where God killed a bunch of folks? Why didn't he have to do that? I mean, I don't think I would have done that. Sam Gipp said this. I like Brother Gipp. Amen. Well, I love him. I don't like him all the time. I love him. Amen. But Sam Gipp said this. He said, it's okay to disagree with God as long as you know who's wrong.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Yep.
If I disagree with God in the Bible, I know this.
Yep.
I know he's right.
Amen.
And I'm wrong.
Yes, sir.
If there's something he did in the Bible, I just think, I wouldn't have done that. When I get to heaven, I'll find out why he did it.
Yeah.
And I said, yep, you were right.
Amen.
Amen. But by faith, I'm just saying he's right now.
Yeah.
How could a God of love send people to hell? You don't know what heaven would be like if all those people were up there.
Yeah. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go to the next one here. Third. Verse 23, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. I know I'm saved because I can't deny Jesus Christ. Amen. I know I'm saved because I can't deny him. Now, what Peter did is not the same as what I'm talking about. There's no. I know he is. I know what he's done. Amen. I can't deny him. Amen. My son, Jimmy, was in Iraq, and of course, he wasn't living for the Lord, and we were fearful for his life as well as his soul. Wasn't sure if he's saved or not. 3 o'clock one morning, he calls me from Iraq, and he said, I just thought you want to know. I led one of my buddies to the Lord. And I'm thinking, I don't even know if you're saved. I said, well, tell me about it. He said, we got an atheist in the unit. And he's talking to a couple of my buddies and trying to convince them there's no God. And I had to say something. He wasn't living right.
Yeah.
But he couldn't deny him.
Amen.
You back him up in the corner, he couldn't deny him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I know I'm saved because I keep his commandments. And have we gone back to our experience yet?
No.
I keep his commandments. I keep his word.
Yep.
I can't deny him. Next, verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. I know I'm saved because I do righteousness. I didn't do righteousness before I got saved. I didn't want to do right. I didn't wake up in the morning thinking, what can I do today to be a blessing?
Yeah.
But I do today. I'm saved. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I do righteousness. I know I'm saved. Last of all, verse 14 of chapter 3. We know that we pass from death into life because we love the brethren.
Yep.
I know I'm saved because of the crowd that I keep.
Yeah.
I prefer hanging around Christians.
Amen.
Sorry as they are.
Yeah.
Amen. I get nervous around lost people. I get nervous around their language, their innuendos. I'm not comfortable around them.
Amen.
This is my crowd. I like hanging with Christians. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I've taught this for years. When I used to teach in Bible college, I'd do it in dorm devotions every year. And when I first started doing it, every either that night or the next morning, somebody would get saved. One of our students would get saved as a result of teaching them assurance of their salvation. Mm. And I'm thinking, what am I? I'm not trying to get these people to doubt. I'm trying to help them to know that they're saved. And then God says, sometimes he calls me Blanco, sometimes he calls me dummy, amen. Hey, dummy. He said, if they don't keep his commandments, and they don't keep his word, and they can deny him, and they don't do righteousness, and Christians are not their crowd, they're not saved no matter how many prayers they prayed.
Amen. That's right, brother buddy.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you now, if these five things are not true in your life, you are not saved.
Yep.
The fruit's not there.
Amen.
The fruit's not there. And listen, I tell you what, when I got saved, and listen, I know this church people aren't saved, because I was a church member for 9 years before I got saved. But I never doubted my salvation in those 9 years.
Yeah.
I never did. I never did. Boy, did I pray the right prayer when I was 9 years old? What, you know, I never did. And the night I got saved, I wasn't there doubting. Oh, maybe I didn't pray the right prayer when I was 9 years old. Maybe I wasn't sincere. Maybe I didn't know what I was doing. The Holy Ghost said, your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yeah.
You're lost. I said, well, that's that. Amen. I'm lost. I need to get saved. Doubt is a question mark. The Holy Ghost convinces. Brother Alan Jones told me this and helped me. Believe your beliefs and doubt your doubts. The Holy Ghost does not talk to you with a question mark. Are you really saved?
Yeah.
No, if he can go that far, he can go as far as you're lost.
Yeah.
And that's why he talks. That's why he talks. So, number one, make sure you're saved. Make sure you're saved. Number two, turn back to 2 Peter again. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Verse 5. And beside this, well, there's that word again, giving all diligence. I mean, we're really busy about this. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, what a list!
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, not a trick question. Have you looked at this list this week? We're supposed to be giving all diligence to add these things to our life.
Amen.
Preachers, have you at least brought it up in the last couple of weeks? Folks, how are we doing on our list? I'm just thinking us preachers have let people down, because we're supposed to give all diligence to add these things to our life. And I doubt anybody here knows where you are on the list. You don't have one that you're working on right now. It says, add to your faith. God gives you faith to get saved.
Amen.
So that's a given. After faith, after you get saved, then you add the rest of it.
Yeah, that's right.
It says, you add virtue to your faith.
Yeah.
You add knowledge to your virtue. You add those things. I'm saying the steps to a victorious Christian life, the steps to a supernatural, normal Christian life, is to make sure you're saved and get that list and start adding those things to your life.
Yeah. Amen.
Discipline yourself.
Yeah.
Write a note to yourself right now. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to see where I am on that list, and I'm going to start adding the next thing. I want to be not just a Christian. I want to be a disciple.
Amen.
I want to be disciplined. Amen. It says, giving all diligence, add these things to your life. Now, this is not in any certain order. I'll give this one because I've already preached on it, so it won't take long and we'll get out earlier. Amen. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
I preached that Tuesday night, maybe? So, I asked you Tuesday night, and I preached a whole big old message on it. So I ask you tonight, are you? Are you filled? Well, I mean, we got reminded about it Tuesday.
Right.
Surely, disciplined ones.
Amen.
Yep.
Surely, you've been working on that.
Amen.
Making sure you're filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Are you filled with the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Being filled with the Holy Spirit is pretty easy. The hardest part is getting the junk out.
Yeah. Right.
So you can get filled.
Amen.
The filling's easy.
Yeah.
Because God does that.
Yeah.
In the book of Matthew, I believe, he said, if you fathers, if your son desires a piece of bread, will you give him a stone? He said, if he desires a fish, will you give him a serpent? He said, if you fathers, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?
Amen. Yeah.
You just ask.
Amen.
And he'll fill you.
Amen.
When you pull up to the gas station, fill her up. Amen.
Yep.
If he sticks that hose in there and he says, sir, this thing's already full of something. I mean, it just keeps clicking.
Amen.
You need to get that stuff out.
Right. Good.
Amen.
Get that junk out first and then say, please fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And then stay that way.
Amen.
Stay that way in a continual state of being. Well, if I should read the verses, but we've already had the whole message on it. But they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Right.
I studied this out one time. There were some parentheticals I kept finding. I think it's in Acts chapter 4. It says, and Peter, comma, filled with the Holy Ghost,
yeah,
comma, and then what he said. In Acts 7, I think. And Stephen, comma, filled with the Holy Ghost, comma, and then what he said. That filled with the Holy Ghost is a parenthetical, which means you can take it out and the verse still says the same thing.
Yep.
Is this something the author wanted to put in there for some more information?
Yep.
So here's the Holy Ghost talking to Luke, who wrote with his hand the book of Acts. And so the Holy Ghost says, and Peter, so Luke writes down, and Peter, and the Holy Ghost pauses. So Luke puts a comma, and then the Holy Ghost says, filled with the Holy Ghost. He puts filled with the Holy Ghost. There's another pause. He puts another comma and then tells what he said. And then, and Stephen, there's a pause. He puts a comma. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Comma and what he said. I was looking at that stuff. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And he said, Blunkall, if I was writing about you, could I write? And Blunkall.
Yep.
Filled with the Holy Ghost. So that's just for preachers. Stephen wasn't the preacher.
Right.
He was deacon.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's for everybody.
Yep. Amen.
It's for everybody.
Amen.
You ladies, I don't envy you with these kids. You better be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
Amen. That's too big a job for you. Just be filled with the Holy
Amen.
Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. That's going to give you the edge.
Yep.
Filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Steps to supernatural, normal Christian life. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Look in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5, our next thing, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. My, how would this church be if everybody in the church had the mind of Christ. What kind of influence would you have with your family, with your co-workers, with your neighbors, if you had the mind of Christ, if you thought like Christ? What kind of influence would you have? Now let's look at this verse. The first word, let. Someone asked this question, how much work is involved in letting something happen? Nothing. Right? I mean, if you to let it happen, just do nothing and it'll happen. So then why don't a lot of us have the mind of Christ when all you have to do is let it? A pastor and I got into it about something, and it got physical. Well, the potential was there. I would have three options. He would too, but I'm talking about me. I'd have three options. I'm just talking about the options I used to use growing up to avoid conflict or to engage in conflict. First of all, you got to know your enemy. If you think he can whoop you, then there's two other options. One is run. I used to be a pretty good runner. At some fights, I just run. You say, you're a coward? No. Self-preservation. Amen. One, and I was pretty good at this too, to start telling some jokes. Try to get them not mad at you. Amen. Just, amen. And if that don't work, then put them up and here we go. But all of those required some kind of work to not let him bang on me. Amen. Not let him beat me up. I had to work for him not to beat me up. So if we don't have the mind of Christ, apparently we're not letting. We're defending ourselves from it. And why will we defend ourselves from the mind of Christ? I mean, I'm sure all of us Christians, we would say, I want the mind of Christ. I mean, I know I should have the mind of Christ. Well, why would we defend ourselves from it? Well, let's see what the mind of Christ is, and we might find out. Amen. Verse 2 says, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. The mind of Christ, I like what he says during handshaking. He said, cross the aisle. Cross the aisle, shake hands. Amen. There's some churches, they don't want to cross the aisle.
Yep.
They're on opposite sides for a reason. Amen. And they certainly, the people on this side, a lot of times, can't look over here on this side and esteem them better than you are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that's the mind of Christ. Now, you folks, you turn your little pointed heads this way, and you esteem them better than you are. That's the mind of Christ. Do you see why we might be defending ourselves from the mind of Christ? We don't want to do that.
Yeah.
We can't place a value on these other people higher than on our own selves.
Yeah.
Is that what Jesus did? Jesus esteemed others better than himself. How many miracles did Jesus do for himself? None. It's always for others. That's the mind of Christ. Esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You care more about their cares than you do about your cares. If they lost your job, you pray for them like you lost your job.
Yep.
If they have a wayward child, you pray for them like you just had a wayward child.
Yep.
You get that same burden. Yeah. You look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And by the way, if they lost their job, not only would you pray for them, but you would be, you put yourself in their position. How long can you last grocery-wise after you lose your job? So you're going to be giving. You're going to at least get nosy. Make sure they have lights. Make sure they have lights. Make sure they have gas to get to work. Whatever the situation, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's the mind of Christ. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. You can't be worried about your reputation if you have the mind of Christ. You can't worry about what people think about you. And took upon him the form of a servant. A lot of times people come to church to be served. They don't come to serve. This man has a lot of titles, bishop, ruler, pastor, but one of them is minister. Minister means a server. He ministers to your needs. He serves. And we're to minister to each other. Amen. We're servants. We're servants. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He said, I want you to follow what I do. And it's not an ordinance of foot washing, but it was an ordinance of serving.
Yes, sir.
Serving one another. That's the mind of Christ. Why will we defend ourselves from the mind of Christ? Well, we've heard a few already. Took upon him a form of a servant, was made in likeness of man, and being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself. Now, who are we talking about humbling themselves here? God. If God can humble himself, surely we can humble ourselves. And like I said the other day, humility is not necessarily thinking lowly of yourself, but it's just not thinking of yourself. If God doesn't consider himself, then surely we cannot consider ourselves. How many fights would you husband and wives have if each esteemed other better than themselves?
Amen.
If you looked, every man looked on their things more than you look on your things. Amen. If you were the servant. Amen. How many spats? How many family? How many church problems would there be? If each was esteeming another better than themselves. I've seen church problems and it was kindergarten. It just looked like a bunch of kindergartners. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's the mind of Christ. And that brings us to our next one, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Almost done. Romans chapter 6. I want to read a few verses because I want you to see the context. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We're talking about Christians and our relationship with sin. How to get victory over sin. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if when we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Look in verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man, what's the next word?
Is
crucified with him.
Amen.
I'm talking about the crucified life. How many times have you heard us preachers say, you just got to get on that cross. You just got to crucify that flesh. This verse says the old man is crucified with him.
Yeah.
Present tense.
Yeah, right.
It's a done deal.
Yeah.
And the first word says, knowing this. Amen. First two words. Knowing this. You need to know that your old man is crucified with him.
Yep.
Say, Brother Blanco, explain that. I don't understand. Okay. This will be kind of easy. Wesley, if your great-great-great-great-grandpa died when he was 3 years old, would you be here? No. Because you were in him.
Yep.
Y'all with me?
Mm-hmm.
He was in his great-great-great-grandpa.
Yep.
Go all the way back to the garden. You were in Adam.
Yep.
You were in Adam.
Amen.
When he said, our seed was in Adam.
Yep.
The Bible says, in Adam, all die.
Amen.
In Adam. As a matter of fact, if we stay in Adam, we end up in hell.
That's right.
Because that's where his seed goes.
Yep.
But therefore, if any man be in Christ,
amen,
he's a new creature.
Right.
So, if you're saved, you're placed in Christ. Just like you were in Adam, you were also in Christ.
Amen.
You not only got everlasting life, you got eternal life.
That's right. Amen. Yes, sir.
Now, if you've ever taken math, an arrow going both ways, that's infinity, and that's also eternity. No ending, no beginning. So when we got saved, we not only got everlasting life, which means from now on, we got, it goes both ways. Eternity past. We were in him before the foundation of the world, the Bible says. So, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, where were you? In him. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Amen.
And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
We were crucified with Christ because we were in him. Just as we were in Adam, we got the death nature and sin nature. In Jesus Christ, we were delivered from sin. And we got eternal life. So, when Christ was buried, where were you? In him, buried with him. So the third day, where were you? Resurrected in the newness of life. Where's Christ now? Seated on the right hand of God. Paul said, we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I mean, yes, we're here, but the part that counts is already over there, seated in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So, first of all, knowing this, our old man is crucified with him. Do you see that? Our old man is crucified with him. So, let's keep reading here. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You do not have to sin. I'll say it again. You do not have to sin. Sinners have to sin. That's their nature.
Yeah.
They have no other course.
Amen. Yep.
We don't have to sin.
Amen.
We're not servants to sin.
Amen.
For he that is dead is freed from sin.
Amen.
Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death had no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, here's the second thing now. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed in a sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So number one, knowing this. Your old man is crucified with him.
Yeah.
So you know it here. How many believe the gospel here before you believed it here?
Yeah.
Probably most of us.
Yeah.
So, okay, I read it, I see it, I'm crucified with him, I read it. Okay, all right, now you need to bring it down. Reckon it to be done. Believe it to be done. Appropriate it to your life.
Yeah, really.
Paul said, I die daily.
Amen.
It's something he, every morning he got up, he declared himself, I'm crucified with Christ. My old man is crucified with him. I'm not a servant to sin. So I'm reckoning myself right now to be dead indeed unto God. Amen. So, and in verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. So, number one, okay, I believe it here. Number two, I appropriate it here. So since I do believe it here that it actually took place, I am dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. So this thing here, these members, they're God's.
Amen.
I have a choice every day to yield these as members of unrighteousness or members of righteousness.
Amen.
And I consciously reckon myself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God. And these members, I'm giving them to God for him to use as he sees fit today. And tomorrow, we do the same thing.
Amen.
That's it. We're disciples.
Yep.
I die daily. It's just that Paul did it every day. And you need to do it every day. Last of all, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. You might remember the title. Six steps to supernatural, normal Christian life. Normal. Supernatural, normal. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
I think it's in Peter where it says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil. He's your enemy, like it or not.
Yeah.
You say, well, I don't pick a fight with him. Yeah, but he's already picked a fight with you.
Yep.
And he wants to take you down.
Yeah.
And we're no match for him. So we need the whole armor of God. We need to put it on daily. And again, since Tuesday, have you made sure that you're filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm just showing you, and not trying to rebuke you, but I'm just trying to show you we're not disciplined, but we need to be disciplined. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to make sure we're saved. We need to add those things to our life. Amen. We need to have the mind of Christ. We need to die daily. Amen. Live unto God. And we need to put on the whole armor of God every day. The devil does not let up.
Amen.
And we're oblivious. We're oblivious that he's out there. We don't even think about it. We have an enemy. I think everybody likes me. I know somebody that doesn't like me.
Yeah.
And he wants to take me down. And you kids, I love you kids, but I'm telling you, he's not a respected person. And I've been in Africa enough to know and studied lions enough to know they don't go after the strongest, fastest. They go after the little ones. They don't, they're not, they'll go after anybody.
Amen. Yeah.
Satan, you think Satan's after the preachers? No, Satan's after anybody he can get. He's not choosy. He'll take anybody.
That's right. Amen. Yep.
Put on the whole armor of God. We're in a war.
Yep.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And look, principalities, power. Invisible things. We can't even see them. It's hard to fight something you can't even see. But that's where we are.
Right.
So you better put on the whole armor of God. When our son Jimmy was in Iraq, they sometime during the deployment, they let them come home for 2 weeks for rest and relaxation. And let me say this, when you've been in a war, it takes a long time before you can rest and relax. It takes more than 2 weeks. But he came home, and his wife said every time he went out the door, he would reach in the corner and just have a strange look and open the door and go out. But every time he'd go out the door, so after the fourth or fifth time, I don't know, she said, Jimmy, how come you always reach over there every time you go out the door? He said, I'm reaching for my weapon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, in Iraq, a little kid can have bombs strapped to them. I mean, he said, you don't go out the door without taking your weapon. And us Christians, we just get up in the morning and just hit the floor running and just don't read our Bibles, don't pray, don't put on the whole armor of God, don't get filled with the Holy Ghost, and then we expect everything's going to be great.
Come on. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, whether you like it or not, we're in a war.
Amen.
And whether you like it or not, we have an enemy.
Amen.
And we're no match for him. We need the helmet of salvation. We need feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need the sword of the Spirit. We need the shield of faith. We need loins girded about. We need all that. And it says to put it on.
Yeah.
We need to consciously, every day, make sure we're saved. Giving all diligence, add these things to our life. Let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Have the whole armor of God. Die to self. Live unto righteousness. Every day.
Amen.
Every day.
Amen.
And we'll live a supernatural, normal Christian life. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Appreciate your Bible. And Lord, these things we've talked about tonight, we're not ignorant of. We knew all these things. But God, we're not disciplined. We just, out of sight, out of mind, I don't know what it is, but God, we have an enemy out there. And most of the time, we're not prepared when we meet him. And God, I pray you'd help us tonight to apply these things to our lives. God, I hope people took notes. I hope they got a memory better than me if they didn't. And God, help them to apply these things to their lives, every day of their life. Lord, I want to live a supernatural life. I want to live a life that you may be pleased with. And I'm convinced through the book of Acts, those people every day they saw God do something, but they were disciplined. They were full of you. They had the mind of Christ. They had the armor of God. They were ready. So, Lord, I prayed you'd help us tonight and from tonight on to be fully equipped. Every morning, we'd realize that it's just not getting up and eating breakfast and going to work. Lord, there are some other preparations that need to be done as a Christian. And help us to give all diligence to make sure it's done for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.